The Old Testament reading for Good Friday is from Isaiah chapters 52 and 53. Behold, my servant shall act wisely. He shall be high and lifted up, and shall be exalted. As many were astonished at you, his appearance was so marred beyond human semblance, and his form beyond that of the children of mankind. So shall he sprinkle many nations. Kings shall shut their mouths because of him, for that which has not been told them, they see, and that which they have not heard, they understand. Who has believed what they heard from us? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant, and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, and no beauty that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And as one from whom men hide their faces, he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with a rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for sin, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore I will divide him a portion with the many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Merciful and everlasting God, you did not spare your only Son, but delivered him up for us all, to bear our sins on the cross. Grant that our hearts may be so fixed with steadfast faith in him that we fear not the power of sin, death, and the devil. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The epistle is from Hebrews chapters 4 and 5. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you willed that your Son should bear for us the pains of the cross, and so remove from us the power of the adversary. Help us so to remember and give thanks for our Lord's passion, that we may receive forgiveness of sin and redemption from everlasting death. Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Holy Gospel, according to St. John, the 18th and 19th chapters. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples across the Kidron Valley, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. Now Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. So Judas, having procured a band of soldiers and some officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, went there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Then Jesus, knowing all that would happen to him, came forward and said to them, "Whom do you seek?" They answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." Judas, who betrayed him, was standing with them. When Jesus said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. So he asked them again, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus answered, "I told you that I am he. So if you seek me, let these men go." This was to fulfill the word that he had spoken, "Of those whom you gave me, I have lost not one." Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?"
Thank you.
led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the governor's headquarters. It was early morning. They themselves did not enter the governor's headquarters so that they would not be defiled, but could eat the Passover. So Pilate went outside to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered him, "If this man were not doing evil, we would not have delivered him over to you." Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and judge him by your own law." The Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death." This was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken, to show by what kind of death he was going to die. So Pilate entered his headquarters again and called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world." Then Pilate said to him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice." Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" After he had said this, he went back outside to the Jews and told them, "I find no guilt in him. But you have a custom that I should release one man for you at the Passover. So do you want me to release to you the King of the Jews?" They cried out again, "Not this man, but Barabbas." Now Barabbas was a robber. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, "See, I am bringing him out to you that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, You will not speak to me. Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you? Jesus answered him, you would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin. From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, if you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar. So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, behold your king. They cried out, away with him, away with him, crucify him. Pilate said to them, shall I crucify your king? The chief priest answered, we have no king but Caesar. So he delivered him over to them to be crucified.
For this night.
standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all was now finished, said to fulfill the scripture, "I thirst." A jar full of sour wine stood there, so they put a sponge full of the sour wine on a hyssop branch and held it to his mouth. When Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished." And he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Bring my
Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and suffering Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning's sermon is from the Old Testament reading of Isaiah 53, verses 4 to 10. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. By oppression and judgment he was taken away, and as for his generation, who considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people? And they made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich man in his death, although he had done no violence, and there was no deceit in his mouth. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief. When his soul makes an offering for guilt, he shall see his offspring. He shall prolong his days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. Today is Good Friday, and it seems a paradoxical thing on a certain level in which to call this day, the day on which our Lord and Savior died, a good day. But it is good because of what Isaiah describes for us in our Old Testament reading for this morning. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. We all have our griefs and our sorrows. Perhaps when we're younger, they're not as great or as significant to us. But we all have them. The grief over loved ones who have died. The grief of missed opportunities or failed relationships. The grief of recognizing the failures our various sins and shortcomings have wrought. The sorrow from recognizing our sins. The sorrow from the brokenness we see in the world around us. The sorrow from whatever source it may come. And Isaiah, writing about 700 years before the cross, was given this vision by the Lord in order to see into the awesome mystery of what our Lord Jesus was sent to do. He came to bear our griefs and our sorrows. We talk often of Jesus taking away our sins. Less often do we think that Jesus also came to take upon himself our griefs and our sorrows too. You do not have to carry those griefs and sorrows all yourself, dear fellow redeemed in Christ. Jesus takes them on himself. This too is part of the heavy burden he bears for us and for our salvation. And he was stricken, smitten by God, and afflicted. Stricken. We heard moments ago how the high priest struck Jesus with his hand, how the soldier struck Jesus with many blows, how Jesus endured this all in order to bring us salvation. He was smitten by God. If anyone was ever smitten, Jesus was. He had the thunderous wrath of the Father against all the sin of all time poured out on him on that cross. And he was afflicted. Yes, if anyone ever was afflicted, Christ our Lord was afflicted, as he put up with the sniping and the mocking and all the pains of the cross, not for anything he had ever done, but for you and for me, in order that we might be saved. But he was pierced for our transgressions, he was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. He was pierced for our transgressions. That is to say, the whole point of Jesus dying on the cross in specific, of the form of various public execution that he was given, was that this was God's divine plan all along. As horrific and painful as the cross was, as devastating and humiliating as the whole event of the crucifixion of our Lord Jesus Christ truly was, he did it all willingly, because this was the Father's plan. Out of love for the world which God the Father had made and had caused to be very good, the instant that sin entered in and ruined everything, God started the ball rolling for his bigger plan to be fulfilled in the right moment of time. He gave glimpses of the elements of this plan to various prophets at various times throughout the Old Testament. Yet it's fair to say this particular vision that Isaiah received has the most detail of the cross in specific. And when it says he was crushed for our iniquities, Isaiah is referring to the heavy crushing weight that our sins were on Christ. And also it recalls the original promise of the gospel in Genesis 3, which uses a different Hebrew verb for crush, to be fair, but a similar theme, where we are told that one born of woman would crush the serpent's head, and the serpent would crush or bruise his heel. And the chastisement that brings us peace, peace that is brought to us, is no more and no less than the new covenant foretold by the prophet of Jeremiah, the one of peace which comes not from an absence of human war, but rather the reconnection of God to man, because sin is truly atoned for and fully forgiven. Yes, Jesus took upon himself the chastisement that brings peace, and now we receive in ourselves peace in place of the chastisement for sin that our sins rightly deserve. For we live in a world that defines sin however it wishes, which turns the sins God speaks against into nothing at all and elevates human opinions into being the worst of sins. But God knows the truth. God is the truth. And so in order to ever have true or lasting peace of heart and mind, you and I must dig into our sins, recognize them for what they are, and confess them to our Lord. Now, granted that we'll never be able to fully grasp the depth of them or enumerate them all, for who can truly know all their sins of both commission and omission? And yet Jesus' death on the cross points to us our need to recognize, admit, and believe this is our reality, that we are truly sinners and we truly need what the fruits of the cross alone can give. For only then can we receive that total and blessed, peaceful release the Lord wants to give us. It is only in this way that by his wounds we are healed. Healed not because of our doing, but because of his doing. Healed because despite our faults and weaknesses, healed because despite our guilt and sins and shame, God is greater. God calls you and me to receive from him his precious healing, the healing that comes from the cross. For all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. The image of sheep here is that of a flock which has no leader, no shepherd to guide them, As such, when faced with various options and vainglories which sin promises, you and I so often go chasing off in our own various directions. Power, lust, greed, personal fulfillment, connections, you name it, we go chasing after it. And yet we do not, by nature, go chasing after the Lord and His Word. That's just not so interesting to the old Adam, to the sinful flesh in each of us. It can be very easy just to take things for granted as, well, I've heard all this Jesus stuff before. And so we get lost. Stuck in all sorts of terrible traps of our own making. We have turned everyone to our own way. And yet the Lord doesn't just say, okay then, have it your way. Be lost in your sin. No, He's done something about it. He has laid all your various sins, no matter how big or how ugly, on Jesus. All your iniquities were placed on Him, not just some. He was oppressed, and He was afflicted. Yet He opened not His mouth, like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so He opened not His mouth. Jesus was accused mightily and did not speak against His accusations. He willingly took all the false accusations, only answering when put under oath by the high priest. And when Pilate directly questioned Him in a way where He had to answer, He did not spend time protesting His innocence as you or I may have done, but was led instead like a lamb to the slaughter. Again, all for us. And for our salvation. By oppression and judgment He was taken away, and as for His generation, who considered that He was cut off out of the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of My people? Jesus Himself had no generation, that is to say, He never married. He died childless. He was cut off from the land of the living in this sense, in order that His people might live. His people. That's you. That's me. They made His grave with the wicked and with the rich man in His death, though He had done no violence. There was no deceit in His mouth. Yes, Jesus was crucified among the thieves. His grave, temporally speaking, was with them. Even though the rich man, Joseph of Arimathea, was honored to break his Passover and bury Jesus in his own new-hewn grave carved out of a rock, Jesus had never done anything wrong in word or deed. And yet He was treated as the worst of the wicked, in order that by His being counted among the wicked and the rich, He might bring God's goodness and eternal riches to all who follow Him. Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush Him. He has put Him to grief. When His soul makes an offering for guilt, He shall see His offspring. He shall prolong His days. The will of the Lord shall prosper in His hand. And I put to you, this is the most important part of Isaiah's vision. For anyone can die, even die on a cross. During the time of the Roman rule, thousands did. Anyone can suffer. People can attribute what they will to their suffering. Many worldly great philosophers have done so. But what sets Jesus apart? What demonstrates the true power of this Good Friday is that the cross and the grave are not the end of the story. No, we celebrate Good Friday. We pause to contemplate this holy day precisely because it is the middle of the story. We'll leave our big celebration and rejoicing for Sunday as is proper. But yes, Jesus has indeed seen his offspring. That's you. That's me. That's all who by faith have become his own. For he has indeed prolonged his days. After his soul made the offering for guilt, he was raised on the third day, never to die again. The will of the Lord has prospered in his hand. His church, which began as a ragtag assortment of regular people from the rural areas of Galilee and Judea, is now the single biggest religious group on the planet Earth. What makes Good Friday good? It's all about what Jesus has done for you and for me, so that you and I can be God's own people today and forever. What a good day that is. A blessed Good Friday to you all. In the name of Jesus. Amen.